Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue is to resign from the Cabinet today. Donoghue told colleagues this morning he's been offered a position at the World Bank, which he intends to accept. Donoghue's the longest continuously serving Cabinet Minister in this government and has been linked to financial positions on the world stage for a number of years. This move does not surprise me, and I would say there are others who are wondering what's next, and if the opportunity comes on while they're sitting as ministers, well, they'll have to take that. They'll have to make that own decision. But anyway, Pascal Donoghue is leaving his role as finance minister and moving on to the World Bank. Does that surprise anyone? Greg, whatever happened to the site where the old ESB building used to be on the Port Road? There was a big drive on it for a few months and they built a big wall around it and put in a footpath. Nothing seems to have happened since, and I can't even remember now what it's going to be. Greg, I don't remember very many cases, if any, in terms of abuse in the other churches apart from the Catholic Church. Maybe there have been and I have missed them. What I often wondered about is the situation overseas. We sent so many missionaries all over the world for many years and still do. If it was happening here in plain sight, you would have to think it was happening in other countries where there was even less control than there would be here. Most of these people were great people and did great work in helping the poor and underprivileged in many countries. Given the church's track record in dealing with some known abusers who were just moved to another parish, it's not hard to imagine that some of them were shipped overseas to move the problem on out of sight, out of mind. I've considered that before in the past, and it has worried me. And as you say, of course, we're talking about a small group of individuals as part of a bigger collective of good people. But I think that's a very valid question, and wonder how deeply it's been explored, because we've seen charities that are in the business of only looking after children in other countries, and there were some controversies surrounding some members of those charities. So, yeah, I think you're... I think until such time as you're disproven or your fears are allayed, you're right to be fearful. Morning, re-asylum seekers. It's clear to see the horses well and truly bolted on migration in this island. We are overrun with economic foreigners. The people spoke out and told the government we have enough, but no, let more in and get the rich richer. We will not know our gorgeous towns in a few years. They'll look like Luton or Bradford. Tourism will be finished in Ireland. Well, I mean, if you look at the overall population and the number of migrants in this country, the horse arguably hasn't bolted. Also, if you had a system whereby economic migrants, as you referenced to them, if they were, and this is the way Europe is going in any case, you know, it's just the way it's going. Britain's led out to some extent, but they're following the Denmark model. Isn't it the Denmark model? But Britain has gone a bit farther than that. This conversation about migration is happening not only in Europe, but it's happening globally. You know, the Trump administration has commented on Europe's migration policy. The tide is turning on it, and Europe is saying, look, you know, this is something that we need to address now. Now, it went on for quite some time. People seeking genuine asylum are legally entitled to that in this country and in Europe and in Britain, whether anyone likes that or not. But there is certainly an element of those who aren't fleeing anything that is threatening to them. Has the horse bolted? Look, on the wider scale of things, if you look at the numbers, right? And I think people might be confusing those that come here on work visas, you know, in terms of when you see people about in the street, everyone assumes that someone who is of colour has to be some sort of a illegal or economic migrant. These are people that are working here legitimately and working in very important jobs, but sometimes those people get conflated, which is terrible, really, with people that maybe are here for economic reasons and just saw Ireland as a soft touch. But Jim O'Callaghan and the rest of the government see the public attitude in relation to that, and they are toughening their language. And you know, many feel that they are going to then toughen the rules, but it's not unique to Ireland. We're following here. We're not leading out. I think it is Denmark. They've got strict on it. Poland has as well. Britain now is really changing its stance, and Ireland is going to have to as well, or it will take those that can't get into Britain into Ireland. So That's just the situation as I read it anyway. Where are our Irish citizens going to go when our Irish government gives everything to Irish citizens past and present who've slaved for generations to survive to non-nationals? We Irish citizens may well become foreign nationals in our own country and seek assistance from foreign nationals in order to survive, which I believe is already happening in our social services and healthcare. Proportionately, the budget for, again, I'm not defending the government, but facts are important, and I know perception is one thing. The proportion of money spent for IPAS, Ukrainians, whatever it might be, is tiny in the overall budget. It's significant, but it's tiny. It's less than 1%, or a little over 1% of the entire budget that's being spent. So all of the resources aren't being taken away. Now, there is a reality here that people living in this country and who have lived in this country for generations or second generations, whatever, aren't having babies. The amount of people being born in this country is tiny. It's a situation that's happening throughout the world. There's reasons for that too. It's not because we don't love kids. It's because of pressures on housing, the cost of living. People are making decisions not to have more children. Instead of having four or five, people are having one or none, or two for that matter, right? So the population is aging in this country, and that population is going to have to be cared for. Now, so unless all of a sudden everyone starts having babies here, and then you have a younger population that cares for the older population like it has for centuries, you get to a point where there's more older people than there's younger people. So those younger people have to work, those people have to pay taxes, they have to worry about their own lives, etc. And also, too, some of them have to choose a career in caring, be it in the health service or in, you know, care homes or whatever it might be. But those people simply are not going to be there because we're not producing them. It's like a factory. If you're building cars and no one's producing wheels in the factory, well, the cars just sit there on their axles. They're no good. So it's inevitable that people are going to be hired into this country to care for future generations of older people because the people aren't being born in this country to do that. Now, if you can come up with and everyone who's awake come back and it still doesn't address what we're talking about. This isn't a problem of migration because there's as many people come back to this country as migrate. So there's as many people return normally annually. There's as many people come back as go. So people go away and they come back, right? So, you know, I mean, ideally, if you had everyone here at the one time, maybe it would go some way to address the problem, but it wouldn't address the problem all of the time. So come up with a solution for me as to how the next generation, the generation after that, and particularly sort of like 20, 30, 40, 50 on, who's going to care for me or older people? Because the young people simply are, now I've done my bit, I've banged out three, but not everyone is doing so. Who's going to look after the older generations? Same is happening with hospitality agency workers. It's killing the industry. Okay, that's interesting. In relation to zoos, I had a little bit of a rant on zoos. A caller says, one sec, I'll turn the aircon off. Zoos are awful. The poor animals should be in their native habitats. Indeed. But is their native habitats better than not existing at all? I kind of think, you know, let nature take its course. 7 billion. This is how much is being paid to agency staff. No, sorry. This is what's being paid, isn't it, since 2012 to house refugees. 7 billion, this is our tax money. Now, giving 10,000 away to refugees to leave the country, you just talk as if it's no big deal. I'm not sitting here to be... It's not for me to be angry. I present the information. It's up to listeners to have their say. If I wanted no one to talk about it or for no one... I wouldn't even read it out. Do you understand? So I've read it out to see if people have an opinion on it. If I didn't want to talk about it or reference it, or if I wanted to make it sound like it was nothing, I chose to read that out. It wasn't handed to me. So it was to see if anyone wanted to talk about it. Hi, could you please warn people that there's a bad oil spillage on the Dolbeg to Port Salon road? So if you're on the roads there, please be careful staying with the roads. Oh, it's another one in relation to that. Last one before the break, because it's Tuesday, which means today Garda Grania will be joining us for Community Garda information. Greg, can you please mention this? Archbishop Eamon Martin, Primate of All Ireland, invites us all from the four corners of Ireland to participate in the worldwide Eucharistic procession, the celebration of the centenary of the Feast of Christ the King this Sunday, the 23rd of November in Derry, other parts of Ireland or further afield. Of course, more than happy to mention that for you.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Now, it's 22 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 18th of November. It's time for this week's Community Garda information. And back in studio with me is Garda Grainne Doherty. Grainne, thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
Quite a bit to get through. We've got some questions from last week, some information in relation to Christmas light switches, switching ons. And there's also warnings about scams. But we'll get to the Garda appeals first. And we'll start with investigations into a burglary in Carn Dona, Grainne.
Yes, Garda are investigating a burglary. This occurred at an apartment building in the Diamond, Carn Dona, on Thursday, the 13th of November, at around 1 p.m. A man gained entry to the main building after he caused damage to the front door. So an occupant of one of the apartments then confronted this man in the hallway and he left immediately. So nothing was stolen from the building. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area of the Diamond Carn Dona between 12:30 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. on that date with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Any relevant information may be passed to Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540, and that's a busy time of day, 1 p.m. So somebody may have seen this man on foot in the area either, may be able to give us a description.
It's just a case of connecting that memory or that video footage with the appeal, because as you say, you'd expect someone know something there. A burglary this time in Letterkenny.
Yes, this burglary occurred at a house in the area of Whitethorn Park, Letterkenny, on Saturday the 15th in and around 4:15 p.m. So two males are believed to have entered this house. It was vacant at the time, thankfully, via the kitchen window, which they damaged. They then stole a sum of cash and a passport from an upstairs bedroom. One of these males was described as being tall. He was wearing blue jeans and a navy shell type jacket. The other was shorter, was wearing all black clothing. Both of these men had their faces and heads covered. So CCTV has been viewed. So these two males were captured walking from the direction of Whitethorn Grove towards Whitethorn Park in around 4 p.m. Following this burglary, they ran in the direction of Knocknamona. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed the two men on foot in any of those areas to get in touch with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91-67-100. And if anybody travelled again in any of those areas between 3:45 p.m. and 4:45 p.m. with a dash cam, that footage would be invaluable to us. We're asking them to get in touch. The Garda confidential line, goes without saying, for all of our appeals today, it can be reached on 1800 666 111.
Good information in terms of movement, description, and of course time of day. You'd imagine that would work favourably for that investigation, providing if you have that information, you get in touch as has been outlined there. Criminal damage now in Buncrana.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of Millfield Heights, Buncrana, on Wednesday the 12th of November, between 3:30 p.m. and 5:20 p.m. So the front window of a house was damaged between those times. A number of holes were discovered in the glass, similar to holes that would be made by pellets, you know, smallish holes. Yeah. We're appealing to residents in that area to contact us if they remember seeing or hearing anything in that area between those times that might assist our investigation. And as always, we're appealing again for dash cam footage from that area. So Gardaí in Buncrana can be contacted on 932-0540. And that's another incident that happened during daytime hours. So hopefully somebody will come forward with information in relation to that one.
People are bracing, aren't they? And that's a particularly worrying incident. Criminal damage in Letterkenny next.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of St. Union's Court in Letterkenny at around 9 p.m. on Sunday the 16th of November. So the driver's side and rear window of a car parked at that location were smashed. We're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91-67-100. And as always, again, dash cam footage, we're seeking it. If anybody was in the area with a dash cam, please get in touch with us.
Now, we're going to Lifford next, and this is in relation to a public order incident that occurred last week.
Yes, we're investigating a public order incident involving a number of men. This occurred in the forecourt of a filling station on the Letterkenny Road in Lifford on Wednesday the 12th of November at around 9:10 p.m. And we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled on the Letterkenny Road in Lifford with a dash cam between 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. to make that footage available to investigating Gardaí. Again, if anybody can assist with relevant information, they're asked to contact Letterkenny Gardaí on 91-67-100 or the Garda confidential line on 1800 666 111.
And there is social media footage out there of that. I'm sure Gardaí have that acquired at this point, but if anyone has any don't presume that you have it and send it forward.
Exactly, yeah. No, there is footage in circulation on social media. We're aware of that, but we're particularly interested too in the movements maybe of vehicles and, you know, just dash cam footage from the road would be of great benefit.
Of course, yeah, no doubt about that. Right now, a road traffic collision in Ballybofey next.
Yes, this collision happened on the Glenfin Road, Ballybofey, on Sunday the 16th of November. So shortly before 10:50 p.m., and one car was involved in this collision, so it was discovered to be on its roof in a field off the Glenfin Road. Nobody was present, no driver or passengers were at the scene upon the arrival of the Gardaí, so we're appealing to any motorists who might have travelled along that stretch of road between 10:30 and 11 p.m. with a dash cam to make us aware and just to make that footage available to us. If anybody has any relevant information, they're asked to contact Ballyshannon Gardaí on 071-985-8530.
Now, you might find this hard to believe. I had no forewarning of what you were going to talk about, but I did have a dream last night that I was the victim of a tarmac scam.
Oh.
I know, isn't that bizarre? and it does form one of our warnings this week.
Yes, and we talked about this very recently, actually, because this is an issue that arose a number of weeks ago also, but we've been made aware that these tarmac scam, these types of bogus callers have been in the Donegal area again within the past week, and they were reported to be in the New Mills and Drumkeen areas, possibly other areas as well that haven't been reported to us. So a tarmac scam is, look, a man or men, they typically go door to door claiming to be a builder, working on a contract. They might have left over tarmac, they'll tell you. They're offering to conduct work on your driveway or the surroundings of your building at a low cost. And often they would pick an area in which there are legitimate roadworks happening nearby, to add a bit of truth to their story. So the material that they then use is often gravel chippings covered with engine oil. It's not the right depth and type of materials to form a lasting road surface. And these are con men, and they may target elderly, vulnerable residents or businesses and claim to be official contractors working on roadworks to add a bit of credibility. And then they often increase the cost during the course of the work, claiming that the job has required more material than expected. And then they may start to issue threats. So please be vigilant. Inform Gardaí immediately if you have these types of callers at your home or business.
Now, the thing about it is, you know, the story doesn't change much. The mechanism for this scam doesn't change much. And we talk about it a lot, but it only comes back up again because, you know, they can be really quite forceful. And people are getting caught out by this. Like, you're not bringing this up again for the crack.
No.
So it's very important that we heed this, but also, you know, call around to neighbours or maybe if they're elderly or vulnerable, you know, you can judge that for yourself. Those are the type of people that often are targeted and are the victims of this. So this is the information if you're listening, but also some advice that you can pass on. What
yes.
should or shouldn't you do, Grainne?
Well, listen, the long and the short of it is, this is not legitimate. It doesn't happen. You know, workmen are never going to come to your door with leftover tarmac legitimately and offer to lay it for you. That doesn't happen, you know. And anybody that's trying to get a workman to do any type of work around their house at the minute will know that it's exceptionally hard to get one because of all the rebuilds and all of the work that's gone on and roadworks and everything else. So this doesn't happen. If anybody offering to lay tar around your home calls to your home, alert us immediately. Look out the window. Try and take a note of the registration number. Get a description of them. Did they go left or right when they go out the driveway of your home? Give us as much detail as possible. Don't open your door to anybody unless you're sure of who they are. Use a chain lock for extra security. Don't agree to have work carried out by these types of callers and never provide them with your personal details. And Gardaí can be contacted on a 24-hour basis in Letterkenny on 9167 100, Bunkrana on 932 0540, Milford on 91530 60 and Ballyshannon on 98075 8530. And if it's an emergency, as always, 999 or 112, because sometimes these callers can become quite aggressive and forceful, you know. Just as well as you've mentioned there as well, it is important for listeners today to maybe call to elderly or more vulnerable neighbours, family members, friends, and alert them about this and advise them in relation to it. If you capture these types of callers on CCTV, doorbell camera or dash cam, even you haven't answered the door to them, but you might suspect that they are these types of callers, alert us and let us have a look at your footage. I think that's it, really.
Yeah.
There was something else and I haven't got it in here. We actually had, unfortunately, within the last week, we have had somebody fall victim to this type of scam. Yeah, so we're very anxious to get the message out to people. And they can be very credible. You know, and as I said, they do pick areas mainly in which there are legitimate roadworks going on, maybe half a mile down the road. And then I suppose that adds a bit of credibility. And
well, you think of course
maybe,
it does.
And they will have work vans with them. They'll have high-vis gear. They will look the part, you know.
Our skilled labour force are so busy, they aren't calling around with leftovers of stuff. If they called around and says, we've a leftover kitchen, you'd laugh at them. And also, too, it's very important that you contact Gardaí and say they're in our area, so the patrols and alerts and all that kind of stuff can be fashioned in that regard. And just to be clear, I've said this before, I'm not selling anything, but it's very easy and relatively inexpensive to get a doorbell that has a camera on it. So you don't have to answer it. You can get it one right now for 60 quid. All right, and you stick it on your door. It's not wired, so you don't have to worry about pulling wires and whatever. Someone presses that, it rings on your phone, and you can open it on your phone. It opens straight away on your phone, and you can engage and speak with those people. And at the same time, if you stick a memory card in, a wee SD card, it's recording it. So you don't have to physically open your door. And if you've got a tablet or a phone, you download this app and it pops up. It's like a, it's just a telephone call effectively, and you can see exactly what these people want, what they're claiming, and you can reject that. But you will know instantly because you'll see the image if it's family or friend, and you can open the door. It's not 300, 400, 500, 600 quid. You can get one of these cameras very sensibly priced, because I have a couple of them, for 60, 70 euro.
They're fairly inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
Yeah.
So not only are they recording any movement in front of your house, but they're also allowing you to screen. So if you look out the window, you can say, right, I'm going to engage with this person on my doorbell camera. You don't have to get involved with them. So the technology is there and it's available for everyone. Of course, 60 or 70 euros, still a considered purchase, but for your own security. And you can also have a situation whereby if it's an older person, whereby both of you have the app. So either they answer the phone or you answer the doorbell. Do you know that sort of way? So you can answer it in a different house if someone rings their door down.
And we did just as well, Greg.
I haven't finished yet. Well, I'm only joking.
Oh yes, you are. No, I was talking to one of the representatives from a loan recently, and we did mention this a number of weeks ago on air. And he was extremely grateful because he said the uptake has been amazing since it was on air, talking about it. The, you know, these boxes that elderly people can get to secure to the wall outside their home with the wee pin code, and they can keep their key in the box. Because he reckons that a lot of older people especially are leaving their door on the latch. They're leaving their door open because they might have home helps calling during the day. They might have carers.
The wee key code in.
Yeah, and maybe they're not able to get out of their seat to keep opening and closing the door. So the door's left on the latch. So what the types, these types of calls now, you know, in relation to bogus callers and burglaries on the rise, it's just if anybody knows of anybody that's vulnerable elderly that would benefit from having one of those boxes, alone or providing them free of charge.
Brilliant, okay.
So he said since it was last on air talking about it, he's had numerous calls and they've supplied them. So if anybody
wants...
So
the box goes at the front door and you have to... Do you have an additional key or is it a code that you put in?
It's one of the wee key safe boxes. So it's secured beside the front door. It's kind of like the, you know, like on a luggage bag of that that you have to... There's a four-digit code, okay, maybe. Or so you could then give the carer or the home help that code. The key's in the box for them. So when they call in, they can access the key with the, using the code. And then they can secure the door again, going out and put the key back in the box so that this person isn't left in the house with their door on the latch.
And that's an alternative to leaving it on the latch, obviously.
It is.
It's way more safer than to do so.
Even if anybody wants one of those, they can contact me at the station and I can put them in touch them with a loan.
And just to be really clear as well, this type of information is not designed to make people feel fearful, right? It's about to allow people to enjoy your space in your house, feeling a little bit more secure.
It's about adding that layer of security.
Yeah. It's not a panic station. It's just good, solid advice so you can chill in your home and not feel threatened. Right, Health and Wellbeing Roadshow. It's at the ATU on the 20th. What's this about?
Yes, so the, Sergeant Fergus McGrory asked me to mention this one. So this Health and Wellbeing Roadshow will take place at the ATU in Letterkenny on Thursday, the 20th of November, between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. So Sergeant McGrory is one of a number of speakers at this event, and he's going to be offering advice about financial safety, among other topics. The Community Policing Gardaí will also have an information stand at the event. All adults, it's for over 18s only, so all adults are welcome to attend this roadshow, and registration is from 6 p.m. Light refreshments will be served, and then the event kicks off at 6:30 p.m. And I'll put up further details on the Garda Facebook page later today.
Right, talking about exterior cameras, my neighbour has installed 3 doorbell cameras. Well, I'd say they're not 3 doorbell cameras, certainly external cameras anyway. The doorbell camera generally faces straight out. But my neighbour has installed 3 doorbell cameras facing in all directions. One's directly into my house. Are there any regulations on them?
Yes, so this isn't actually a Garda matter. You know, it's a data protection matter. So there are regulations in relation to cameras, what you can and what you can't record. My advice to this caller would be, firstly, you know, to try your best to stay in good neighbourly terms with the person next door, which is always a good thing to try and do, would be to talk to the neighbour maybe first, ask them about their cameras and try and establish exactly what areas are covered by their cameras, and to try and resolve the issue by talking to them firstly. If this fails, then the caller still has a data protection concern. If they feel that their privacy is being infringed, they should make a complaint to the Data Protection Commissioner. They have the authority to investigate these complaints. So they can do this via www.dataprotection.ie. There's an online form in there to stick in your complaint. Or they can email info@dataprotection.ie. Now, if the caller or anybody out there listening has a concern in relation to harassment, if they feel that this is being done as a method of harassment, then it becomes a matter for us. Mm. So they are welcome also to come in to us and voice their concerns to us.
Yeah. Also, I don't know the circumstances here, but I do know a bit about these cameras. They don't always point exactly where you think they're pointing as well.
Well, that's it. The camera could be installed and you may feel that it's infringing on your privacy, where it might not even be
range.
Covering.
And also, beyond a certain distance, what you're looking at really is shadows.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Now, if it's on a gable looking at someone's garden, obviously this is different. And ironically, God forbid if anyone were to approach that neighbour's house, maybe the first port of call might be their neighbour with the camera to see if they spotted anything. But listen, you said good neighbours, we need good neighbours. Sounds like the introduction to a soap opera. Right, now, Christmas lights switch on. Letterkenny behind the curve again. Thousands out in the streets of Ballybofey, Snawler, and now the poor cousin Letterkenny coming up the rear.
Yeah,
What's going on here?
Well, look, it'll be every bit as good, I'm sure, as Ballybofey. And I'm a Ballybofey woman, but it was spectacular.
I was just trying to see if I could get you to turn on Letterkenny.
Oh, no, to be fair, Ballybofey put on a great show this year. I'm not going to let Ballybofey down. They did an amazing job, but I'm sure Letterkenny will do just as good a job. So Letterkenny, the Christmas lights will be switched on this Sunday the 23rd of November. There will be a number of road closures just to facilitate the event and to keep everybody safe. So the following roads will be closed between 5:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. So Main Street from Rosemount Lane to the St. Oliver Plunkett Road, Castle Street from Church Lane to Market Square, and Market Square itself. There are alternative routes, the Justice Walsh Road onto the Pierce Road and onto St. Oliver Plunkett Road and via Church Lane also. I think people are aware every year anyway of that's the same road closures every year. So we're just asking motorists, keep this event in mind. Just if you're intending to travel within the Letterkenny area on Sunday evening, just leave a bit of extra time for your journey.
And well, if there is any road delays, we've been in training. We've been in training for the last 6 weeks, so we'll get through it.
I think so. We are delay ready. Look, it's going to be well worth it.
You know, at least this is for a reason.
It's for a
most
good,
of the
very
delays
good
are for no reason.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's always a lovely event.
I'm stuck in traffic half an hour in the morning, so you can cycle up here from the Garda station on a Tuesday morning.
I don't think you've ever seen me cycling up to Mountaintop.
On the bingo box of things that will never happen.
I'd be looking for a lift back down again with my bike in the boot, I think, if I did that.
Right, well, we'd have to pick you up at the hospital.
Swing via A&E
anyway.
For me. But,
I think that would be my situation. Anyway, you're fitter than I am.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. But we're encouraging everybody. Get out on Sunday. Wrap up. Wrap the family up. Get out. It's a nice, joyous event. It always is. It's a lovely event for the community and for the town. And Gardaí will be out on the beach, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody there and having the crack with them.
Very good indeed. And it will be well worth your time. And those things are well organised and well stewarded. And ironically, things can actually move a little bit more smoothly than they can at regular peak time because there's just more resources there. Garda Grainne Doherty, as always, thank you so very much for calling up to us. I really do appreciate it. Now, if you missed any of those appeals or any information in there, or you want to play maybe the warnings back to a friend or neighbour or a family member, it'll be available for you to listen to on a podcast on our website from 12:30, and there or thereabouts too, available for you to watch back on Highland Radio's Facebook page and also ordinarily on the Garda Síochána Facebook page. We're joined in the programme now by Cheryl Davis and also Paul Greenhow, Have I got the pronunciation, Paul? It's interesting arrangement of letters.
It's very close, I think. Yeah. My dad used to say it was Greenhalgh.
Well,
but
me and your dad are in an agreement, so what you think is almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
Not at all. Cheryl Davis, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us here.
And you do listen to Highland Ready, you were saying?
I do.
Yeah, you're a 24/7 listener, which is great to have. Now, we are reflecting on the awful weather that hit Jamaica. I'll start with you, Paul, first and foremost. It's amazing, you know, that when you're exposed to news, when you're far removed from it, it's so fleeting, isn't it? You know, there's a talk of a day or two about something heading towards an area, then there's coverage of it, and then you move on to the next thing, it feels sometimes. But there was devastation in Jamaica, and unfortunately the fallout of that persists.
Yes, it's very true. News cycles are short. They always are by definition. My grandfather was in the news business himself, so I grew up with this idea. And we had winds blowing at nearly 300 kilometers an hour, and the devastation can't even begin to be described, because entire neighborhoods are gone. Roofs gone, walls gone, windows gone. Everything.
And you know that intimately, Cheryl. Can I ask you just to move a little bit closer to the mic, if you don't mind? Thank you so much. You know that intimately, don't you? Because your brother's home was devastated by the winds.
Yes, my brother's house, the smallest one, there's no roof left, right? It's just the pure wall standing. And you know, funny enough, when the storm started, we were talking, and I only hear he said, Boxfoot. And I'm like, what is it? And when I looked up, he said, look, it's just the sky. So the wind just took the roof off while we were on the phone. And I'm like, and then he started panicking. And I'm like, okay, just don't panic. Just get a sheet and start covering stuff. You understand? By the time we said cover stuff, it's all gone. You understand? It was no time at all to get anything sorted and prepared. And he had already told me that, oh, I went up, I bought down the house and everything is okay and secured. But nobody
would
know what.
But the nature of construction in a lot of these countries, because of the climate, are built for everyday living, but not built for meteorological events like what we're talking about now, or what we're seeing with greater regularity. Your brother's in the west of Jamaica. You also had family in the south. They were slightly less impacted, is that correct?
Slightly less impacted, but I do have family that has been impacted greatly as well, apart from him, that's on the western side, you know, where the hurricane hit mostly, right? And you know, it took us a while to kind of find them, to kind of realize where they are, what's going on, because the communities are still, some of the communities, you still can't get into them because they're still separated because of the landslide and all that. So they're totally cut off from anywhere else. And it's very hard, you know, to kind of imagine what they're going through at the moment, because there's absolutely nothing. It's just devastation there.
Yeah, and we're talking about the physical devastation, the displacement, Paul, and also, too, the devastating loss of life.
It's actually the loss of life, any life is one too many. The loss of life is actually currently looking surprisingly low. It may be as low as 60. Nobody really believes these numbers, because, as Cheryl is saying, we can't get into half.
The extent of...
We can't get into the areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, my side, I'm from Kingston. We're almost untouched, relatively, compared to the West. It's amazing that you can be on one island and be talking to people whose houses are fine, who haven't lost the roof. They haven't lost power, but power came back pretty quickly. And it's almost a tale of two islands there.
And is that because of how the weather hit, or because of a difference in resources and infrastructure?
No, it's mostly to do with the direction.
Okay.
Kingston was supposed to be hit. Everyone was planning on Kingston. And everybody, I know people still in Kingston, everybody was expecting it to smash into Kingston. And at the very last minute, it veered off and went down to the west, which was the very worst part it could hit, because it's flat plains and just nothing to stop the wind, right?
You know, and both of you, Cheryl, I'll direct it to you. You know, if you were in Jamaica, you'd be able to roll up your sleeves, offer emotional support, whatever it might be, right? Get involved. You're removed from it, so you can feel a little bit helpless, not just for your family, but also the broader Jamaican community.
I do. I was just saying to Paul there that I haven't break yet, and I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, because you still have to stand strong for everybody, you know, because you still have to get through to see who is okay, who is sorted. Do you get what I mean? You still have to do that. But at the same time, just to see, you know, because when my brother goes out, he will video call and show me. And all you have to do, you know, tears come to your eye, because it's massive. And I was saying to them that we are proud people when it come onto our island. We love our island. To see it, for the diaspora to stand out and look in and look at how the island is destroyed, it's just, there's no words.
Yeah, because there's some areas are still underwater. The topography's changed forever with mudslides and what have you.
Definitely.
Paul, obviously we're talking in the context of a coffee morning, which I think is as much as a chance to stand in solidarity as it is to actually raise money, right? Because that's what I would be feeling. So I presume that's how you might feel as well. But in terms of the Jamaican resources or external resources to help with the rebuilding project, what is the situation there? You know, in terms of, you know, heavy machinery, but the funds and the workers to do that?
As I understand it, there's not too much of a problem with the workers. Everyone in Jamaica can turn their hand to almost anything. But what we really need, and we have a GoFundMe page, is we're desperate for nappies. I always think of the diaper word because we use the wrong words. But we're looking for nappies. We're looking for long life food. You know, we're looking for things like that. And pressing.
I mean, obviously, you're looking to raise money with a view to buying that.
Yes.
Just in case anyone, you ship them there, you're right?
So. Although we are putting together a container.
Are you?
It's in Charleston in Dublin, where we're collating and getting all the donations.
All right.
And the hope is to get that off to Kingston. Maybe by the end of the month, if we're lucky. We know who we're going to do it with. So we're pretty much lined up, ready to go.
And communities are coming together as well. You know, communities are coming together and they're helping. And we have gone out to the likes of like Tesco, Dunn's and stuff, just to ask, you know. And, you know, people are coming together and help us because they see the need. And, you know, the funny thing about it is that when you say Jamaica, every person know one thing. What's get what I mean?
What is it?
It doesn't matter what it is.
It's usually Bob Marley.
Everybody, don't bother with it.
I was like, what is it? I know what you mean. Everybody has a connection.
Everybody has a connection with some shape or form.
Either in cultural or...
Figuratively speaking. Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing is, we have a really strong connection with Ireland. I was explaining to one of your colleagues in the waiting area there, where I lived in Kingston, I lived right near Munster Road, which is right near Sligo Road. You know, we have very, very many Irish names on our roads.
Well, listen, we're asking you to keep the people of Jamaica in your thoughts. There's a coffee morning taking place on Thursday morning. It's in the Trinity Hall in Letterkenny. That's beside the cathedral. It's at 10:30 a.m. and it's to help raise funds to support the communities there. And, you know, maybe even opportunities for people from Jamaica or close to Jamaica to come together as well, too. How do people find that GoFundMe finally? Do you have that information, Paul, or is it you?
I don't have the QR code here.
Do you know
here.
What we'll do? We'll link it on our socials. Isn't
that's
that
what
the
I was.
That
was going to ask you if we could do that.
Oh, I'm one step ahead of you.
Oh, grand. Thank you.
Listen, thanks for calling. And maybe, Cheryl, hopefully as the rebuilding process goes on, and Paul too, if you're available, it'd be lovely to chat to you just in the context where not post disaster, just to learn a little bit more about Jamaica and that type of stuff, just from a different perspective,
We'd always be delighted.
Because I'm always conscious when you talk about an area for one of the first times and it's in the context of something that's Now, this is negative, but it's a positive mm-hmm. thing. These are coming together. It'd be lovely to have a more free conversation. Cheryl Davies, Paul Greenhalgh, according to your dad and me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in. So that's a coffee morning this Thursday in the Trinity Hall in Letterkenny. That's beside the cathedral at 10:30 a.m.